Welcome to Trust the Journey. I'm Melanie Curtis.
And I'm Jason Maledsky.
Our mission is to live, laugh, love, and learn together with you.
We're here to create conscious connections, to grow and contribute through our practice of openness, honesty, vulnerability, humility, and trust. Trusting the entire journey. If you get value from our show, please share whenever and however you are so inspired. Follow us on Instagram or leave a comment on our website under this episode. The website is www.trustthejourney.today.
Also, if Facebook is your preference, everyone, go ahead and follow our individual profiles. So Jay is Jay Mo, and I am Melanie Curtis over there. So yeah, right on, family. Thank you so much for being with us. Here we go. Right on, you guys. So in this episode, we are talking about mentorship. We're talking about the core value specifically of contribution, how that drives action, and what is or potentially is possible with this kind of long-term follow-through. So it's a meaningful topic, obviously, for me, but I think it's a really useful one for everyone. So I'm excited to be talking about it. But yeah.
It's powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you started talking, I hadn't put a lot of forethought into it, but as soon as you started talking about it, I immediately had my mentors in my life pop to mind, the people that have greatly influenced me, whether in sport or as an apprentice or, you know, just in general in my life. And then I considered the mentorship roles that I'm involved in and how rewarding that process is to myself.
Yeah.
So what about you? What came to your mind as soon as you... Tell us. Tell us, Melanie.
Oh, gosh. Jay and I are laughing because I think he's just not asking me directly to share. Oh, God. It's almost...
Melanie Curtis received the first ever PIA Mentorship Award at this recent Parachute Industry Association symposium in Dallas. She's the first recipient ever. It's a huge accolade to her contribution, with respect to her contribution to mentorship inside of the sport of skydiving. So huge round of applause for Melanie. I know all of our listeners are applauding alongside me right now.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh my God. 2 weeks in a row, I'm going to be crying in the podcast. Like, get it together, girl. I cannot even begin to express truly how overwhelming and humbling. I really, truly may cry. I'm going to try to keep it together, but it was to learn that I was getting that. It was a shock, and it's hard to even describe it, to be honest, but it was overwhelming, obviously extremely humbling. And reflecting on that, it's funny because I'm like, okay, and Jay, it was awesome. I got to have people at my table, and Jay got to come and sit next to me at our table, and I was so happy. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be asked to speak or what, but I was prepared. I was like, okay, I'm going to get myself together. I have an opportunity, like, if they want me to step up to the microphone in front of all of these people in our industry and our sport that are present, which was, there were a lot of people there. It was a
huge
very,
convention.
Very full room. I was ready, and it speaks directly to what you just said about thinking about my own mentors. So basically what I was going to say is I was thinking about, and I have way more than just the people I'm about to mention in my line of mentors, but I was going to tell quickly the story of my friend Muttley, who is basically a guy who was the perceptible cool kid at my drop zone in Australia where I was getting my A license, and I was the perceptible, wildly uncool kid, and he was nice to me. You know, and I mean that, like, not just hitting on me. It was like he was actually nice to me. You know what I mean? And that went a huge long way for me. Circling back, I ended up getting to work a job load organizing, coaching in Australia years later. And it was super cool. It was full circle for me to have a paying skydiving job down in Australia where I learned and got my license. And I was giving a little seminar during a rainy day, and Muttley walks up the back, like in the back, and I was just like in shock, catapulted back to the like joy of my newbie self, seeing this person who I was so grateful was just nice to me. You know what I mean? So that was one thing, is like that. And the skydiving example, and I'm almost, this isn't too much longer, but this a skydiving example I was going to share is one time Melissa Nelson Lowe was at Skydive Elsinore, where I used to work. This is shortly after I decided to start free flying instead of four-way FS competition. And I almost never got on the airplane and didn't jump with someone else and try to jump with someone else. I was always trying to make someone else's skydive better, if I could be a participant in their jump or help organize it or whatever. And on this particular load, I made the choice because I was committed to learning how to fly head down. So I decided to do a solo. Even though everyone, there was a big group doing a tracking dive, and it would have been cool for me to join that, yada, yada, yada. Melissa was diving last, and she basically was like, what are you doing, you know, and asked me. And she's like, oh, I'll go with you. And I was like, oh, my God. And that skydive turned into the first ever skydive for me where I flew head down the entire skydive. I had never done that before. And so, like, you know, I don't know if you guys know that, but basically it's a challenge when you're starting to learn to fly head down. You cork a lot and you flip over to your sit fly, and it's a thing to fly upside down the whole time to break off. Even though she was helping me, holding me and stuff like that, it was like a big deal. I landed, I freaking bawled my eyes out, but that helped me go on to organize the women's vertical world record with her and like be a part of that coaching and mentorship and, you know, championing and inspiring young women and just other people in the sport. So the message I wanted to leave people, and yeah, I would have totally owned the mic this long, by the way. Hell yeah, I would have. Listen, people, is that we, at any moment, no matter what we're doing or where we are, we have an opportunity to help someone else. We have the opportunity to give someone an experience of us that lifts them up, that gives them a touch point of they're included, and that they have a possibility available to them that they might not have basically been able to access otherwise, except for our helping them access it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I have to say that sitting at the table with you, first of all, it was an honor, because just to be that close to you receiving that accolade, I know what it's like to receive an award, and it's very emotionally well-filling, right? And it was beautiful to see you have your well filled to the brim and overflowing. And it's the first time I've seen you like awkward in your own experience of being in, of receiving, you know, and you give so exceptionally well that it was wonderful to see you awkward in such a huge receives setting. I also think it's wonderful that you're mentioning Melissa Nelson Lowe at this interchange here, this conversation, because she was also sitting right next to you and to me at the table there. And of course, a huge inspiration, an excellent mentor to so many people. And I love hearing that reflection, especially knowing that relationship to the evening. Yeah, so powerful, so well-deserved,
yeah,
so proud of you.
So powerful. Thank you so much, my friend. It meant the world to have you guys all there. It is overwhelming. Like, I felt like I really needed your support in that experience. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. Like, it's such an interesting thing, and I'm so grateful. God, I'm so grateful. And I will say this, that one of the things that excites me about that type of acknowledgement is that I'm excited that if any level of sort of highlighting mentorship, you know, like any level of influence or reach that I have created through my work over the years as, you know, and with some presence on social media or just the connections that I have personally with people and all the things, you know, the network and the people that we have in our lives and stuff. I like that this award that is highlighting this core value of contribution and helping others, you know what I mean? And really intentionally doing that. I like that. If anything, it might help magnify that in other people, you know? So I hope it does, you know what I mean? I hope that people have seen the posts and are going, wow, that's cool. And maybe are inspired into a little bit more of their own mentorship and realizing that it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be at the top of whatever thing. You can do it day to day, one-on-one with anybody you touch.
Absolutely. I think that the core value that's being expressed, which is within a community, within an industry, of saying, hey, mentorship is a key element of what we do and something that we value as a community, and we're willing and interested to recognize it on that level in that sort of an environment. It says a lot about how important this the nature of family is. And I think that that's the same core value that we're aiming for with this project, with Trust the Journey, which is to create community, to create family, to see that we're all on the same mission and we all need a little help or a little hand or some guidance from one another, and that we can lean on one another for direction at times. I really like the value. I think it's fantastic.
Definitely. I agree. And I feel like it's fascinating to look at the long-term impact of that, right? Because, like, it's funny. If I think about talking to people who are considering a life transition or are at a fork in the road in their life and they're maybe considering a career change or something like that, a lot of times what I hear from people is that they really are fulfilled when they are helping people. So it's just Absolutely. One way to say it, contribution, mentorship, helping people, like however you want to phrase it or however you phrase it doesn't really matter per se. It's this giving tone, you know, which is mutual, you know, sort of cyclical giving tone. That's something to note, you know what I mean? So like I definitely would say if I look back, I fell into that category pretty unconsciously where I was like, oh, I like to just help people. I like people. I like da 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 da. And so then I see that magnified over my career. You know what I mean? To standing on a stage last week or this week and getting this award. And I'm going, oh. So the reason I bring that up is to perhaps bring consciousness to those people out there that are like, I really enjoy helping people. And go, oh, that's a real thing. And when magnified, can really bring about tremendous impact and results. And I'm not just talking about getting awards. I'm talking about like what we are valuing and trying and aiming for and with Trust the Journey. It's like that contribution is what we really believe brings everything else. And so it's awesome. I love all of this. I really, really hold this as a core pillar of my life for sure.
I'm going to bring up a story now about my first mentor in skydiving. It's a really powerful reflection. His name was Sean Lemire, Canadian. He's one of the first few people that I saw skydiving when I went and did my first jump. He was already a cutting-edge canopy pilot back in the early 90s, and I saw him fly a parachute, and I was impressed. You know, I was like, wow, what is that guy doing? That's awesome. And it really knocked me off my feet as to how much performance and skill was being demonstrated, and super friendly, just easygoing, no problem to talk to, immediately willing to share any knowledge that he could possibly share, became my mentor right away. As soon as I was off student status, I was, you know, scratching at his coattails, like, hey, tell me what to do. Hey, guide me on this mission. And he'd always just give me a few pieces here and there. And I would watch him go about his day or his life in the sport. And so a simple example is the load organizer example, right? It's that team leader for whatever project is being undertaken in the regular world. And on a skydiving group, it's, you know, getting the group together to organize for the plan for the jump and the execution of the plan. And he always had this demeanor which included everybody. First of all, it made everybody feel like you were on an equal plane, because the jump plan included everybody, and everybody had an integral part in every sense. So it didn't matter if you were me at the time who had 50 jumps and didn't have a clue what I was doing. And he made me feel just as welcome as the person next to me who had 600, or the person like him who had 13 or 1500 or 3000 or whoever. There wasn't a class of what class you're in. It's one group. And I saw him, you know, perform these, this, you know, group management skills, team building stuff a number of times. And then he made it look very easy because of some really simple pieces. And I thought to myself, I can do this. That's not hard. You know, I just, when the next time that there's no leader, I just step up and act like that, you know, just say, hey, let's do this. Let's join here. Let's follow this example, you know, and everybody remember the things that are important. This stuff can happen or this stuff can happen, and throw some key pieces out that everybody can reflect on. But most importantly, keep a positive attitude and go with the can do attitude. You know, like if he can do it, I can do it, because really it's just a matter of following each other's footsteps and going down the path that's been laid out for us. And it changed me as a whole. And where I wanted to bring this to as a real resonating point is what truly got me to being a world champion inside of canopy piloting was his example as a mentor.
Amazing.
I always wanted to show him what I was capable of doing, even though he had passed on long before I ever reached that point. I always wanted to be able to say, this is for you, man. This is for you, bud, for the skill that you love to display, that you enjoyed performing so much. So a large part of the reason why I went on to become a champion in my chosen discipline was because of that example of mentorship that was presented to me as such a young jumper. And it just resonated and resonated and resonated. And now I only hope to be able to continue to do that for other people.
Absolutely. And I also, I highlight this, well, I highlighted this in a different talk I gave a couple of years ago at PIA to drop zone owners who were looking about like new jumper retention. It was sort of, that was the boring title topic, whatever. That was my topic. And I'm like, oh, they don't even know what they're in for. give me the mic.
Oh, no.
Once again. But the power, because in that part of, like, if we're talking about skydivers and the youth, you know what I mean? I don't know about you, but I was so grateful because I cared so much. I cared so much, you know, I loved skydiving so much that it makes such a big impact when we are so emotionally charged, you know, and there's a higher opportunity there, you know, so this isn't just in skydiving, but like, I always really, I'm sure I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but like caring about that potential power available in terms of using it for good. You know what I mean? An influence as you grow as a mentor, as you grow in leadership, whether you're a load organizer or a coach or just somebody that is a regular, you know, at your place of whatever you're doing, skydiving or whatever community you're a part of, that if you have influence to wield it for good, you know what I mean? To really wield it intentionally to help people access these positive possibilities, that to help them access this real feeling and trust and belief that they are included. Just like what you're talking about that your mentor did, like I definitely had a clear shift when I understood that, oh my God, people are listening to what I'm saying. And I want to use that for good. Like it was, it really happened. I mean, this is like basically just, I mean, it's a whatever. It's a longer story, so it's not worth telling. But what?
Last week or so.
I know. But it's just like, you know, the positive energy is so key, because anytime, and this goes to something I was also going to bring up on this episode, was this idea that if we're making choices from a core value, so if we're making this choice from the core value of contribution, being of service, mentorship, again, whatever you're calling it, that we're doing it, the action from the value, the intent, the effort to contribute and lead in that way is the value. And that's where we derive fulfillment, not from any specific outcome, right? Like, I definitely had no thought of getting a freaking mentor award. I am so honored and super humbled. As I said, I'm so grateful. And I never once was my goal, though, is my point. So if we're doing this without attachment to specific outcome, then there's a purity of that that is felt, and there's a purity of that that is inspiring. You know what I mean? And I'm saying this from a place of reflection, both on myself and what I feel like, why people might have responded to me in the way that I've been, but also in the way people have been with me, where I'm like, oh, they really care, and they're no pressure. And they're really sort of have my best interests at heart, and, you know, all of these things.
Awesome. A few years ago, I started a small group called the Canadian CP Canopy Piloting Team Camp, right? And the point of the camp was to get together the current members and friends of the Canadian Sea Canopy Piloting Team to do a training camp. But more importantly than doing the training camp was the passing on of knowledge. I've been competing in canopy piloting for decades, and I wanted to ensure that what action I was taking in the later part of my career was to pass this forward, to pass the knowledge on to others who are going to leverage it for their own good, as well as pass it on to the people after them. So the goal of the camp was not just for me to teach everybody, because that's not the point, right? The point isn't just, hey, listen to what I have to say. The point is for everybody to become a teacher. So we arranged the structure of the camp so that the most experienced members were going to take on a coaching role alongside me based on the same philosophy, and everybody working off the same page and believing the same structure and goals. And then the next year around, we bring up some people that were participant the first year as coachees to become coaches. And the next year, the same thing. So there's this ongoing cycle of first being a participant, or if you're in my end, like moving further and further out of the picture, and new people moving into the picture, but this constant generational cycle of people learning something, learning how it's taught, learning to teach it, and then learning to be the teacher and moving up that and allowing this flow to happen. And it's so rewarding. It's so fun. So fun. Like, I get to look forward to this. I'm looking forward to it months in advance. The participants are looking forward to it months in advance, because we know it's going to have this camaraderie, this teamwork element. It's very, very much based around leveling the field,
yeah,
and about everybody participating at the same level, and everybody stepping up to take a leadership role, and everybody stepping down to take a debrief,
yeah,
and to take some feedback about our performances as a coach or as a jumper or whatever role we're in at the time. I got my hands going everywhere, get super excited.
Gotta
right
check
now.
Out the YouTube podcasters.
So these kinds of opportunities, you know, they happen to us where we find ourselves in the receiving role, but it's also, there's always opportunities for us to create it, you know? And Melanie, I know you've got a few that you've created, and you're well-received reward, much deserving for it. And just speaking to our listenership, ask yourself, where are the areas where you know in your head, I can do that, you know? When has the example come up to you that you're like, yeah, this is not that hard. I've had an example laid out in front of me before. All I have to do is follow it and then go for it. And remember, perfection's not the goal, right? The goal is enjoying the journey and enjoying the process of being vulnerable and making mistakes and trying things out and teamwork and creating community and all these elements that come along with it.
Absolutely.
That's the good stuff.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. Echo every single word of that, big time. It's funny. I use this example. Like I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but opening the door. I would say, and this is what I mean, is opening the door of an aircraft in flight on jump run. So for those non-skydivers that might be listening, it's basically a thing. Usually a more experienced jumper will take that role. And so what I tend to do is I tend to empower people while I'm there. I'll take new jumpers and I'll say, you know, at some point you're going to be the most experienced person on the load. And so it would, you'll be the one that can step up in that instance to be the one who opens the door and checks the spot and all of that good stuff. Like really trying to give people like permission to do the things that they would normally probably just shy away from, thinking that they're not ready for it or thinking that someone else should do it or whatever a person is thinking that has them sort of stay back from learning new things. Like, you know what I mean? Because I think it does take a bit of courage to step up into an unknown role, not really sure, caring a lot about how you are in a certain community, you know? So there's things that we can do like that, that help us inch people up. And anyway, I just feel like that's just a small little example of how to help a person learn something new and be empowered into leadership in small ways.
This is a great point for a phrase that I've heard, and you can take it in two different ways. And I want to mention it because there's a positive way to take it and there's a negative way to take it. And the phrase is, or the saying is, fake it till you make it, right? And so the positive spin on this is, just because you've never done something before doesn't mean that you can't just give it a try and do your best at it and really fake it. Like, okay, I'm the leader now, even though I got no experience, but hey, somebody has to. So I'm going to step up for the right reasons, for the reason of wanting to create value for everybody, for wanting the experience to be as positively beneficial for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Now, the negative spin on that is fake it, as in pretend that you're something you're not, for your own benefit.
Yeah,
for you to be the one who gains from the experience. So the difference is, am I gaining from this or are others gaining from this?
Yeah, right? Or we as the collective gaining.
Exactly.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
So if you've got the confidence to just take the risk, just to jump up enough to be like, hey, guys, I'm going to lead this one even though I've never led before, it's for the greater good.
Totally.
Awesome. If
yeah.
you're doing it because you want to better yourself, meh.
Yeah, exactly. And we can feel the difference. And obviously this, we're saying this stuff certainly with the caveat of, if you ever are in question about skydiving safety, by all means, you know, ask someone more experienced. So we're talking more about leadership and things that are not necessarily directly connected to safety. I just felt the need to say that in case there are people listening and, you know, taking it out of context.
That's easy to do.
Huh?
That's easy to do.
It is. It is. Yeah. Certainly.
Most people look at skydiving and they think that everything is life-threatening, right? Like something like opening the door is only mildly dangerous, you know? You just got to make sure that
fingers.
There's nothing that's going to go out the door if you open it. Watch your fingers, you
watch
know?
Watch your fingers.
And like a jump plan for the non-skydivers that are listening, like a jump plan, there's always points that need to be considered, like, you know, where's everybody going to be? What are the key risks that are involved? What's the breakoff or separation altitude going to be? What are the opening altitudes? Where are we going to jump? But most of that stuff kind of goes on the central piece that's, it shouldn't be assumed, but it should be discussed. And the rest of the parts are kind of like, what are we going to do with our free time? You know, like, how are we going to enjoy ourselves during the process? And so in reflecting on that, everything that we do has these two elements to it. It has the, what do we need to do to ensure the health and well-being of whatever it is that we're undertaking, and what are we going to do to make it fun and inclusive and enjoyable and feel like when I leave it that I'm smiling afterwards.
Yeah, for sure. That low pressure vibe is, I think, a big one. It's one of the core tenets, I think, also of really excellent mentorship is actually caring. You know, it seems obvious. You know what I mean? Like I said this in one of my seminars this year about navigating conflict. This one applies lots of places to actually care. But seriously though, if you really actually care, people feel that You know, they know that. Like, and I'm glad you brought up your group because I can't not talk about this award and not highlight my peeps because
Oh, yeah.
basically that's how I got this award is I did a similar thing where I was sort of off from skydiving for a couple of years. So I started this group a few years ago. I barely promoted it. There's some things I'm great at promoting and other things I'm just terrible at promoting. Because I just wanted to do it because I wasn't skydiving. I thought it was a travesty that I had this like call to help people. And I'm like, I have to be at a drop zone to help someone. It just doesn't make sense. And of course, I then realized, oh yeah, modern technology, duh. So I started this online group and it's been going for about 3 years. And I'm the kind of person who sort of relatively knows that new things, the cool factor takes some time to catch up. So I'm like, I know this will probably be perceived as uncool for a while, you know, like, and I'm cool with that. Like, I'm cool to ride it out. And basically what we do is we do a call every Monday night. And anyway, my point in sharing all of those details is just that this has been a thing that I've done, you know, pretty much every week for 3 years, helping new jumpers via Zoom, like Jay and I do our calls for Trust the Journey and the YouTube stuff. And people can come or not, and they ask questions, they post videos, I help debrief them, stuff like that. And I care to show up every single week and help these people or have some laughs or whatever. But basically, they banded together and like flooded the committee with nominations for me, which that's gonna make me cry.
Yes.
They're the tears. There they are. It's just super wonderful. I love them.
Aw.
Yeah.
And they love you too.
Yeah, I know. I know that they do. And that's why I'm so moved, is that it's very real. The care is very real. And I'm so thankful that they got value out of all of my effort. You know, obviously, I'm detached from the outcome. Like, if they got nothing out of it, I still would have been happy to have done it. So, you know what I mean? If we circle back to detachment from the outcome, I wanted to do it anyway. You know, people send me emails and ask me questions. I'm happy to respond to them. But I like that the group exists because now more people can have access to those things that I take time to type out. You know what I mean? So I wanted more people to have access to that help. And so, yeah, if they didn't get any value out of it, that, you know, that would have been subpar. I wouldn't have loved it, but it wouldn't have been a problem. It wouldn't have changed what I did, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. You know, when I was mentioning earlier about my mentor, Sean, when I think about how the positive contributions that he made, the ones that were directly oriented to me, where we were working one-on-one, aren't always necessarily the ones that shone the most in my memory. In my memory, when I look at the example that he set for me, it was when interacting with others. So I hugely value the experience of having a mentor, because we made about over 1,000 jumps together.
Oh, so
and
cool.
That was hugely affected my direction in my skydiving career and my life. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my most cherished times in my life, but it's truly watching how he would interact with other people that had the greater effect. And as I listen to you talk about your group and how that interaction occurs, I can't help but reflect on that observation that oftentimes some of the most impactful experiences we have are not the ones that we are having. They're the ones that we witness other people having.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Leading by example is real. Is
yes.
real, you know? Oh, yeah. And so, yeah, like that's really inspiring to me. You know, this idea of leading by example totally motivates me. It fires me up like, cool. I don't have to be necessarily, again, getting a specific result in that I believe that in just showing up this way, I'm making a certain impact, even though I don't know how it's going to come out. I don't know what impact is going to be made, but I believe in that impact as being positive. So that excites me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. As soon as we started talking about that, you know, mentorship through example, you brought exactly the same thing that I went through, which was as a competitor early on, when I decided to take it seriously, to choose to train and to choose to wear a uniform and to choose to do everything in a systematic, really professional way and approach it differently than it had ever been approached before. That choice, although at the time I knew what I was representing to myself was embodiment of an ideal, you know, that I'm choosing an ideal. I'm like, okay, I'm going to meet the standards that I would set if I was Michael Jordan for how I'm going to train and for how I'm going to practice and for what I'm going to do. And I'm going to set this set of standards that hasn't been done before, whether it has or not, hasn't been done in my arena, but it's been done by others in their areas of expertise, you know? Mm-hmm. And at the time, I really could not tell you that I understood or knew how that example was going to positively impact others. I knew there would be positive impact. Right. I knew that in some way, by bettering yourself and by being the best version of yourself in whatever area it is that you're currently working in, that that example resonates with others who say, I would like to be the best version of myself in an area.
Yes.
So over the years, the number of times that somebody has come up to me and said, oh man, you're my hero, or your example, or I did this differently because you set the example and you did it this way, and so now I do it that way, and how much effect that has had. I mean, and I know how it's affected the entire discipline. For me, the discipline of canopy piloting isn't like it was when I started. The whole discipline changed.
In what way?
I truly had the advantage that there wasn't anybody training. Nobody was serious about it. People were not serious, and I got serious about it. So that changed. It was easier for me because I was the only one being serious,
right.
You know? And when a lot of other people get real serious, there's a lot of other good people out there.
Yeah.
You know? So in a different discipline, you're going to have a lot of people that are, you know, being highly focused about it already. So you'll have to strive even harder,
right?
You know, if you're looking to be the best competitor. But that's not the point. The point is setting the best example of yourself so that other people are motivated to do that in themselves.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. What's cool about that is that, like, you set the example of a training, intentional, goal-focused, willing to cut out things, willing to act a certain way for the sake of your training and your craft and your,
willing to crash and make mistakes.
Yeah. Like all of that, you showed that that was a possibility. That was something that could be done. It doesn't necessarily mean everyone wants to do that. Although, you know what I mean? But meaning both can be inspiring. It's like the person who is, like for me, for example, at the very beginning of my sort of four-way belly, I was young and was like, yeah, I want to be a world champion, but not really having any clue what that meant. It was just the thing, because it was the only thing that I did. But really quickly, it showed, I saw in my own self that really that wasn't my goal. My goal was actually that I wanted to be able to basically jump with my friends and do what my friends were doing, aka if that was a 20-way head down, I wanted to have those skills. If that was a badass four-way, hot four-way in a competition, I wanted to be able to do that. If it was a, you know, tracking dive, whatever. So for me, it became about being multidisciplined. So I became one of those multidisciplined people, you know, and I even participated in canopy piloting 1 year at nationals. I was not good, but I was excited to learn that skill set because I was able to then participate and really enjoy and grow in friendship with so many people that I wouldn't have been able to touch other than enjoying that discipline as well. Safely, of course, but for me, it was so much more about the people and sharing experiences with them at the various levels that were available. So yeah, like that goal for me of being a world champion left pretty quickly after I transitioned from four-way FS into free flying.
Doing the relating game, that's our game here. That's what we do. We relate our personal experiences to each other's shares with the intent that the listenership can relate their experiences to ours. And so we all level the playing field, right? We all have the same versions or types of experiences. The mention that you brought up right now with, initially thinking you wanted to be a champion at something and then realizing that you actually just like having a really good time doing it. I totally get that for the musical side in my
Oh,
life.
nice.
I at some point I thought I was striving towards some level of achievement, but really it was about the moment. It is about sharing in that experience of curating a moment to share with all these amazing people and these amazing places and losing ourselves in the moment, right? So there's no champion, there's no best. And whenever it starts to lean that way, I just laugh. I'm like, this isn't about being better than each other. This is about having a good time together, And that's the same thing that you're saying about the jumping. And now, this does not matter if it's about playing music together and dancing, or if it's about jumping together. It can be about paddling a boat or going
Totally.
for a run or enjoying a family dinner. Whatever you're doing together, it's about enjoying it together and about being the best versions of ourselves during that experience, and each of us lifting each other up and laughing our way to the finish
Oh,
line.
God, absolutely. Oh, I certainly consider that mentorship. I really do. The true enjoyment, the finding the laughs, like, obviously, you know this about me, probably. Anybody who's listening to the show for any length of time probably knows this. But yeah, like that, I consider that leadership. Like, life is comedy. I find a lot of comedy, a lot of humor in life, and that's something I enjoy leading by. Like, giving people permission, quote unquote. And I say that with air quotes. Of course, that's not what it really is, but that leadership by example of, like, if I'm enjoying myself and I am a perceptible leader, whether I am positioned as such or I am just showing up energetically as a leader in a social setting or whatever, then it gives people license to do those same things. So if I'm really enjoying myself, I always said this when I ran events at Skydive Elsinore, one of the biggest events that we did was this big boogie called Chicks Rock Boogie. We worked really hard to plan it, and then every time, literally every time, when it was go time, when it was day one, it was, yeah, I would work hard, of course, but every time I shifted to now, I am just gonna have the best time of my life. Because if I'm having a great time, everyone else can have a great time too. So it's like, it was really like a very big deal for me to be like, hands off. What happens? We'll handle it if some weird stuff goes down, of course. But I'm not worried. I'm having a great time. All these people are here. Let's have fun. Let's enjoy. Let's learn. Let's whatever. All of the good things. So I really allowed myself to just totally enjoy. And I think that was a big part of sort of quote unquote mentoring that crew and that like culture of that particular event up into that positivity feeling.
That's true leadership, right? When you can set the example, and that resonant energy, it's magnetic and it's sick and it's reciprocated, right? If you're just there and not worrying about anything and just going, hey, let's just love being here right now because this is what we came here for, then we can just truly dive in and be really present to it all. Then everybody else feels licensed to do that. Everybody else says, oh, well, all right, let's just have a great time then. And all of a sudden, the next thing you have is everybody having a great time,
Yeah,
right? What
totally.
better thing can we ask for?
Absolutely. Oh my
Wish more
gosh.
leaders were like
I
that.
know. I know. I feel like there is a movement, though, in terms of this energetic leadership in a wider sense in the world.
Absolutely.
I fully believe that. I feel like I witnessed that. Certainly, there's plenty of toxic leaders and toxic leadership happening in the world, but oh, there's also a lot of a conscious rising and really intentional energetic, leaders in the world as well. So I like that. I like being a part of that. Like if we go back to being detached from the outcome, like yeah, I would love to be a mentor and influence on other people, but the truth is that this all is coming from my core values. I choose and feel called to be this way. You know what I mean? That's earnest. It's authentic for me to be this way. It's not just because, oh, I think this is going to make people, you know, feel influenced or whatever. It's cool that it is in a positive way. I like that that happens sometimes as a result of showing up authentically. But the truth is I'm going to do it regardless of result, you know?
Same here.
Yeah. Same here.
That's awesome. You know, I guess when we go through these pieces and we think them through and we truly take the time to expound upon it and share on it and dig into the why, you know, and get into the value of that's driving the decision-making process to engage in something like leadership, mentorship, the true reward is that present exchange with other people, right? Being participant in something and losing your place as leader, right? Like there's nothing better than when if you've undertaken the role of leadership and you're driving the ship and you're like, okay, guys, this is how it's going to be. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And thank you for being here. And you take out taking all the pieces. And then when others engage and start picking up the other elements that are involved in whatever you're doing, I know that the most rewarding feeling I ever get is when somebody else takes that lead. And they didn't ask. It wasn't said, here, you take the lead. It just organically occurs that an energy rises up and offers something to the group that's so powerful that perceived image of somebody being in charge just melts away.
Yeah.
And it's an equal place. And everybody's participation is equally valued and has just as much contribution. I love it.
Absolutely.
I love it when my classroom goes like that. Yeah. When somebody chimes in on the class and knocks the coach back and go, yeah, man, I'm going to change the way I'm doing things. And all of a sudden the room is like, brr, you know, it's right. Great, right? This is the reward.
Oh, it's true. It's true. And that brings us back to humility, right? Like, because if we're talking leadership, we're talking influence, we're talking mentorship, it implies that elevated state. And I love that you brought this particular conversation back to that humility, because I think that's always something to keep in mind as you rise in leadership, at least for me, is that that's why I said humbling, is that I feel truly humble. Like I never want to be the person who's like, I totally 100%, no matter what, got this. I know everything. Like I just, that's so, no, horrid, hate it. And so
we have a joke in the factory team. As soon as somebody says, I got this, we're about to crash. Do not say, I got this, because you're calling yourself out. It's a death sentence.
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly. It's totally true. You know, so like that humility piece is also part of it. We haven't talked about it much on this particular call, but obviously it's in the core values of our Trust the Journey mission here. It's like true, though, because as soon as we really think we got this, or we think others cannot be of value to us and the collective isn't more powerful than you as an individual, you know what I mean? Like then we're missing out.
That's the main piece.
Go ahead.
We got this is a completely different way to approach this than I got this.
Absolutely. We got this. That's a capability, like supportive, energetic, you know, mindset, not a cocky, overconfident, we're unopened or not open to other influence or information. The I got this is sort of, exactly. That has this tone.
It doesn't lift anybody else up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It doesn't include anybody else. Mm-hmm. It just says, this is mine. It's all about me. It's very egocentric, you know, and that's how you know whether it's truly, it's about us or it's about me, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Gosh, I would be curious what people's thoughts are on this, for real. Like, I would love to hear people's stories. And I'm saying this now, and I'm really inviting you guys listening. Like, if you have a story, you know, about a mentor of yours, like, I would love to hear those stories, you know? Because, God, I just imagine that's a cool-ass project, too. hearing all of people's different stories about how they've been influenced by, oh, I don't know. I like the idea of that.
You want to tell Melanie your stories because she might write a book about it.
I'll collect it into a book.
She'll write a book about it. Be careful.
I've been known to publish.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. No, but seriously.
So, oh my gosh, we just went totally mentorship this whole talk, and we didn't even talk about Trust the Journey talks.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This is how not in our stuff we are. I'm actually proud of us that we fucking forgot it, and we didn't project
awesome?
The logo, and we didn't do anything. Oh, it's hilarious. The Trust the Journey talk was amazing and I loved it. What are your thoughts?
So, for those who don't know, at PIA, Melanie and I did our first collaborative speaking event. We call it Trust the Journey Talks. And the idea is to take this open forum communication that we are sharing in this podcast and to bring it into a public setting where we have a live audience and we can engage the audience and ask the audience for feedback and to include their thoughts on a topic, their questions on a topic, their relating to a topic. So recently, as of like last week, less than a week ago, we were in Dallas at PIA where she received her award.
Aww.
And we did our first Trust the Journey talk to a room of, I don't know, 40 people or something.
Yeah, 40 people.
And if you are on our Instagram or Facebook, you can see the picture that we got everybody to group up, take a picture at the end. And it was really cool. It was an awesome opportunity for lead by example, for mentorship, for stepping up and just trying something new that we haven't done before, and not putting a script on everything, but just giving a few key points, much like this talk for tonight. Like what we generally try and do is just like, hey, there's a couple of key elements I want to dive into. And so we did that. We did Lessons from Lifers, which was designed for us and our audience to provide a few key points that each of us has taken from our career as skydivers and share it with an audience of skydivers who could then relate to those experiences and hopefully hit home. And I feel like, and I'm going to ask Mel for her feedback here in a second, I feel like at some point through the talk, which was about 40 minutes long or so, I got connection from almost every single person in the room. At some point, I either got a head nod or a smile or an affirmative connection and a relationship to what was being shared through those expressions from the lessons from lifers.
That's awesome. Yeah, I loved that we did that. I don't know if I got eyes or true connection from every person in the room, but I love that you
almost
did that.
Almost.
Yeah, close. I mean, obviously just being in the room and being at the front, I think you get connection just energy wise, but I like that. I'm going to actually take that into our next iteration of this. The reason I loved it is, yes, that we're connecting with people, but mostly because it's another version of our values in taking on a form, you know, and expanding the conversation. Like if we're out for, you know, creating conscious connections and leading through our own practice of openness, honesty, vulnerability, humility, and trust, right? All the things that we say in the intro, outro, all those things.
It's not just stuff we say in the intro.
It's real. Yeah, like that's the thing. I'm like, that was so great to experience that, to be vulnerable, trying this thing that we don't know how it's going to go. You know, I was nervous, not super nervous, but I was still nervous. You know what I mean? And wanting people to participate and get a lot out of it, right? Attachment to outcome, like, okay, bring it back. You know, all of those things. And hearing real time from people's and getting their thoughts and engaging that stuff real time. Oh, I love that so much. And I look forward to doing it more. And just, I can't not say this, that if somebody wants to think about bringing us in for something like this, drop us a line because we're open to this possibility.
Absolutely.
We grow in this particular skill set and contribution.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, one of the areas where we're opening up the conversation with everybody else is in our Trust the Journey family page, group Facebook group that we've created. It's a private group, and to be included on it, you just become a Patreon of Trust the Journey. Any donation level is going to help support our cause, which is mentorship, leadership, vulnerability, trust, all the stuff that we're not just spouting off in the intro. It's really about trying to become better at ourselves and share that with everybody else. And so we've created the Facebook group to specifically have an environment with which to safely curate trust, community, and conscious connections. So it's getting traction. People are starting to get involved. They're starting to get comments, and people who are there are all there for the same reason. So if there's things that you hear us talking about in this, you can follow the, check out our YouTube, and underneath there's a link for Patreon, or if you go to our website, trustthejourney.today, you can find the button to click to Patreon. You can become a Patreon, and that will get you to our Facebook group.
Yeah, family. I love it. And that's the thing, guys. We say this every time at the end of our episodes, but really, thank you all for listening and being a part of our Trust the Journey family. If you are inspired to join the Patreon group, by all means do so. If you're inspired to just keep listening, do that. You know, as long as it, as you are getting value and feeling good about what, how you're engaging us and what we're doing here, that's perfect. That's really what we care about. So as we said, go to Instagram, follow us there, trustthejourney.today. If Facebook is where you'd prefer to be, you can always go there and follow our individual profiles. But really, any way you're inspired, guys, and no matter what, we said it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And remember, keep laughing, keep loving, and keep trusting the journey.
Dork.